Hello and welcome to this episode of the Lehigh Valley with Love podcast. Today we're talking with Dina Kovacs-Bernat, Director of Development and Communications for Meals on Wheels of the Greater Lehigh Valley. Meals on Wheels serves far more than seniors. Their team delivers meals, groceries, and even pet food to homebound adults of all ages, while also checking in daily to make sure clients are safe and supported. We'll talk about the changing face of hunger in the Lehigh Valley, how funding cuts are impacting their work, and what you can do to help. A quick thank you to our sponsors, Michael Bernardin with Remax, Banco Beverage Company, WDIY 88.1 FM, and our friends at Wind Creek Event Center. Dina, welcome. Thank you for being on the show. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me and giving us this opportunity.
Absolutely. You guys do amazing work. But one thing is, some people think with Meals on Wheels that it's always delivering to seniors, or that's like the picture that they have in their mind. And that's definitely not the reality of what Meals on Wheels does. Can you give us a sense of what Meals on Wheels is in 2025?
Sure. Yeah. We've been in the Lehigh Valley for over 54 years, and I think we're a well-known brand, but people don't truly understand what we do. The name is recognizable, but all of the other parts and pieces are not. So as you said, we obviously feed seniors. We cover all of Lehigh, all of Northampton, and southern Carbon counties. We have about 90 delivery routes every day with about 125 volunteers on the road for us, just delivering our freshly prepared food. But it's not just for seniors. It's anyone for 18 years old and older who are homebound or disabled for any reason, even if it's a short-term disability like recovering from a hip replacement or a knee replacement, we can bring you hot, nutritious meals to help you get through it.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, we kind of don't think about how it might not be easy for someone just to even get down the street to get a meal, you know, and just having that resource is invaluable. I've read a recent Morning Call article, and we've all seen the news about some funding cuts on the county and state level. Bring us up to speed, if you could. Yeah. How serious is this situation? What's going on, and what are you seeing?
Yeah, it's really serious. You know, the Pennsylvania state budget was supposed to pass as of July 1st and did not. So we're over 100 days with no budget and no end in sight right now. There's talks, but there's clearly an impasse. And that affects everybody. And, you know, there was federal funding freeze. When the new administration came in, there's still some cuts. The government is now shut down, right, for almost 2 weeks. And it's a trickle-down effect. So Meals on Wheels does not receive federal funding, but we do receive funding from the state and the counties, and that actually trickles down from the federal government. So unfortunately, about 75% of our clients are county funded, which means we have contracts with the counties. And if you are unable to pay for your meal, living close to or at or below poverty level, we recommend you for county support. So then the client doesn't pay for the meal, but the county pays us to feed the client. In July, Northampton County put a freeze on enrolling any new clients. And in September, Lehigh County put a freeze on enrolling any new clients. So our numbers have dropped significantly because as much as there is need out there and the need is growing, we are unable to recommend them to the county, and they're unable to pay for the meals themselves. And now in September, Northampton County ran out of money. And so they notified, you know, nonprofits around the county that we'd like you to continue your services, but we're unable to pay our invoices indefinitely. So that puts all of us in a really difficult position because we will have to go to our reserves for what we don't know how long that could be. And we don't know if we'll fully be reimbursed for it. And as you could imagine, and you know, probably personally, cost of living right now is exorbitant. You know, there's tariffs, there's expensive, groceries are expensive. Gas prices are, they say better, but still high. I mean, all of those things affect us every day. And so while the need is great, the funding is not.
Yeah, clearly passing the budget would be the quickest fix to this. And, you know, that's beyond my pay grade. But what can somebody like myself do in the meantime? Are there ways for us to help out? I mean, I know it's not ideal.
Sure.
But
Yeah, I mean, I think it comes down to like humanity, right? We all need mm-hmm. to pitch in and help each other and help. When you think about homebound people who are dealing sure. with yeah. medical issues, mental health issues, and have an inability to get out of their homes and get right. food, which is a necessary, you know, it's needed for life, right?
Absolutely.
We need to find ways to help them. So obviously donations are always appreciated, right? Financial support mm-hmm. is probably the most immediate, but donations, we do emergency food boxes with shelf stable items. We need volunteers to help us carry on our work, you know, whatever way that people in the community could contribute their resources and time would help the ultimate mission.
I want to talk about that ripple effect. You know, are you finding that more people are volunteering? It goes both ways, right? If you find yeah. that there are less volunteers, you know, you definitely see that in the amount of work you're able to do.
Yeah.
So can you talk a little bit about your volunteer program and the situation now? Do you need more volunteers?
Sure. I mean, we could always use volunteers, but incredibly, right. we have over 900 active volunteers.
That's great.
And in any given month, we have about 600 of them on the road. That is, you know, it is a changing dynamic. And many of our volunteers are seniors themselves and are retirees. Sure. Many of them are feeling, you know, the budget crisis and are staying home to help family members, to help offset costs of daycare, or are going back for part-time jobs, right? Because they're they're retirement funds got hit or they don't feel as secure. So it constantly fluctuates. And when there's weather going into the winter months, we see drops sometimes because, you know, being on the road is not fun when it's icy and snowy and you're sure. carrying things up and down stairs. So we could always use volunteers because there's always that need. So as much as we have them and rely on them, you know, there's always more. And it's really
sure.
A process of contacting us, going through some training, some clearances. We do national clearances so that we mm-hmm. know our vulnerable neighbors are safe and secure with our delivery people. But it's not a difficult process to become a volunteer.
I love that number, though. Like you said, 900 and then 600 drivers. That just makes me feel, you know, in a couple of weeks when things have been maybe down, it makes me feel good. Wow, there's that many people that are actively out
there. It's incredible.
Doing this amazing work as volunteers, you know, if that's fantastic.
We also partner with a lot of other agencies like VIA and SPIN and mm-hmm. Easter Seals, and they bring out their consumers. So they bring their staff member brings two or three consumers. They pick up the food. They're out in the community learning life skills, getting socialization and delivering our meals. So it's a win-win. And we're trying to collaborate and partner. You know, all of I think the nonprofits are trying to find ways that we could all support each other.
Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. It's things are a little tight at the moment, especially with a government shutdown and no government budget passed in our state. It's just a very sticky situation, you know. But what can you do in a situation like this other than come together?
Yeah.
And I did want to talk just a little bit, you know, from your perspective of what are you seeing on the ground in terms of the need for Meals on Wheels and services like this. Have things changed in the last, before we started recording, we were talking about the differences between COVID and now, like maybe talk a little bit about that. Like what sure. are things looking like?
Yeah, I think that, you know, people compare these times to COVID times. And in some ways, you know, we all feel that, but during COVID times, money was flowing, right? And donations were flowing and people were like, keep it, take it, you know, whatever you need it for. The government was sending money. Money is not flowing now. So that's definitely a challenge. And I think that the need is far greater than people even can conceptualize, right? There's a lot of talk about food insecurity now. And that's relevant. And that's, you know, the average family is finding it hard to get their monthly, you know, pay to cover all of their expenses. And, you know, colleges now have food pantries, right? And many of our local colleges, because kids, you know, can get into the school, but don't have enough to really sustain sure. themselves. But what we're seeing is, you know, when we talk about some of our homebound, most vulnerable clients, I can't think of a word to describe greater than food insecurity, but they don't have food. there is nothing in the refrigerator. There's nothing in the cabinets, right? We bring a hot meal and a cold meal every day, and that's pretty much what they're relying on. And they don't DoorDash. They can't go shopping, right? And they're really financially insecure too. So now they're trying to decide, you know, if they can pay for their prescriptions and the electric bill and those other things. And, you know, there's certain things that you are non-negotiable. If you don't pay your electric bill, you don't get electric, right? But when you have what's little that's left is food budget, that's where people are really tightening, you know, the belt. And for seniors who, like I said, who have multiple, you know, medical issues too, food is medicine and nutrition, and it's really vital to their health and well-being. And so it is really stark. And, you know, it's not all rainbows and butterflies when we deliver. I think a lot of people, you know, think it's a cute grandma at the door who gives you a hug and a smile. And sometimes that happens and it's great. But there are people who are really suffering and suffering from both mental health issues and physical medical issues and social isolation and lack of food and care is real. And we, you know, like I said, need to extend ourselves to those people who need it most.
You know, it's even like the warm food is amazing, of course, but then that warm smile too, and the interaction with someone. And yeah, you know, we're lucky enough to, maybe some of us are lucky enough to not have to need that service, but for those who do, like you said, it's a literal lifeline.
Yeah.
And we talked a little bit. Well, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, it is. It's like you just said, it's peace of mind. And imagine relying on this and then it just doesn't come.
Yeah. And for families, too. I mean, there are a lot of clients who don't have options, right, who are living in conditions that are not ideal, but don't have the option of going into a senior center or living with family. Their family's out of state. You know, it's not as simple as why don't they go somewhere else or why don't they move? Right. And a lot of family, you know, are established elsewhere. And so we provide that day-to-day well check for their family members and that peace of mind for them as well, that someone sees them, someone is at the door. Because our food is hot, we have to hand it off. We can't just leave it in a cooler or, you know, on the doorstep. And that's intentional.
So that we can
see how Sally is doing and, you know, check in and, you know, have a little conversation and share a little love, but also, you know, assess Sally doesn't look good today and she's breathing heavy. And our volunteers report that back to us. And then we contact their emergency contact and say, Sally might need to see the doctor. And in, you know, grave situations when they're not answering the door and we can't get to them by phone, we do have, you know, a well check come in from the police and find people who have passed out or had a stroke and, you know, intervene on and bring them, get them to the hospital. And you know, life saving is it's dramatic, but it's true.
Yeah, I mean, I love the work that you guys are doing. Like, you know, sometimes it's easy to go missed when you're doing such a great job. And when you have volunteers who aren't seeking the spotlight, they're just seeking to do good in the world. Yeah. But I think it's important to shed the spotlight, which is why we want to, again, tell people if they're interested, how they can reach out. They can go to search Meals on Wheels Greater Lehigh Valley. You're going to find it on social media, anywhere. We're just looking at their website right now. Yeah. I know that you do have an event, the Bountiful Bowl, coming up on November 8th. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's our once a year big fundraiser where we're trying to engage people to come out and, like you said, celebrate the good work we're doing and help sustain us for the future, right? That's how we've gotten through 50 plus years of trials and tribulations. But this year, for the second time, we're having it at Be Social in Bethlehem, which is a great venue. There's bowling, there's games. We'll bring in some table games and food and drink. We're going to have an earlier component. So if families want to bring kids and bowl a little bit and support Meals on Wheels with some snacks and refreshments, they can do that. You know, there's a 21 and over after party upstairs. But, you know, all the money raised will go to supporting our meal subsidy program. And pretty much that's where all of our money flows. It's to help offset the costs of the meals for clients who need it but can't pay the full price. And so all that money raised goes to the purchase of food and trays and the delivery process to get the food to the people who need it most.
And, you know, I'll say it. We need to keep the pressure on our politicians to pass the budget. It's at this point, in my opinion, it's been way too long. And now we're, you know, we're affecting people, the most vulnerable in our communities. And it's time to get it together. So let's pass that budget and, you know.
Yeah, real people are suffering, right? And so
our grandmas, it's our grandmas, and it's our, it's our community. It's like it should make you a little bit angry. If it doesn't make you a little bit angry, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there, but it's our communities, and it's more important than ever.
You know, and these people who are homebound, I mean, they have such rich history and story, and they've made such big contributions to our society and our community, and they deserve dignity and kindness and respect and food. You know, I mean, it's a basic necessity of life. And so anything we can do, you mentioned, you know, we also provide their furry companions with meals. Oh, yes. You know, we have an animals program that brings dog food, cat food, wet and dry, and cat litter to their door with their food so they can keep those furry companions. You know, lots of other things. Like, we're more than a meal. We do a lot of other things to help support them.
No, you guys are amazing. You inspire me. I mean, that many volunteers, just, I love it. I love that we have that many people going out and doing something that difficult. It's not an easy volunteership. It's a difficult one.
Yeah.
Thank you for all. Yeah. So in Pennsylvania, like
what? And Route 22, right?
Oh my! I didn't even think about that. They should all get a badge, you know, for how many hours they're on there. Dina, thank you, Meals on Wheels, Greater Lehigh Valley. Check them out, MOWGLV.org. But I'm sure if you search Meals on Wheels Lehigh Valley, you're gonna find them all over. And let's get that budget passed, and let's continue to support the most vulnerable in our communities. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great day.